flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
It's time to wake up with a nice cup of morning roast. Featuring
Fillmore's finest, Monte Hill. The pride of the Excelsior, Joe Butcher, Boy Shasky. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, the morning roast.
Nothing there. Post the rebound. 10 seconds left. Warriors will just run the clock out. And Quinton Post with his first 20-point game of his NBA career. 5 of 10 from 3. And the Warriors with a bounce-back win. Get to 500. Your final score, 131 to 106. As the Warriors knock off the Chicago Bulls, who fall to 19 and 26.
Oh, baby, oh, baby, oh, baby. A good bounce back after losing to Sacramento in the way that they did. Look, it is starting off pretty near now, 26 in the first quarter. I'm sure Dub Nation thought, oh, boy, here we go again. They're not even waking up here. But how about Guy Santos and Quinton Post bringing the life to the party and the Warriors roll over the Chicago Bulls, and it became a nice and chill night for Steph Curry in the fourth quarter, and now improved to 2-2 during this critical 9-game stretch and get back to 500 at 22-22. The bench points was, oh my gosh, we'll get into that in just a second, but a feel-good win here on a non-payday Friday slash Bay Area Friday. What up, everybody? Good morning to all the overnight dancers, all the janitors, all the plumbers, firefighters, cops, you know the drill, muni drivers, park conductors, AC transit drivers. We love you all. Look, we got a lot going on today. We got the Warriors recap, and I'm eager to hear from Dub Nation on Nikola Vucevic. How you feeling about him now? Maybe we got a Vucevic and Quinton Post. Who knows? Championship Sunday. We'll make our picks. Bills, Chiefs, woo! Eagles, Commanders, woo! Love that. So we got a lot going on here. Plus, Robert Saleh, Niner fans, we good with this? Robert Saleh back in the saddle, or will he get one of the three remaining jobs with the Cowboys, the Raiders, the Saints? It's not a done deal yet, but all signs point to Saleh being the defense coordinator once again for the 49ers.
Tony Soprano was sitting at a table with his kids in one of the first seasons, and he says, hey guys, you got to remember the good times. So anybody that's coming in, it's one game. Here's what I would say to everyone. We have been slamming this Warrior team all season. And when they win, I don't care if it's the Bulls. I don't care if they're playing St. Finbar in San Francisco or Epiphany or St. Brendan's or St. Stephen's and they're playing the third grade team. All right? When you win and Steph Curry is smiling and waving a towel on the sideline in the fourth quarter, let's just enjoy it. What a game from the youngsters. You know, watching Quinton Post yesterday, I don't know what he'll become. I don't know. I'm not here to say that, oh my God, they found all their answers. But this is what I do know. The kid can play a little, and he has really good feel for how to run half-court offense. And I would throw Guy Santos in there as well.
I like Guy.
And the one thing, ooh, when you play basketball with a lot of different guys, you've talked about the ball sticks in X player X's hands. I know if I pass Devontae Hill, and he's willing to pass it back to me, I'm more likely to want to be a willing passer. And when I see the way Quentin Post is setting screens high at the top of the arc, and the way that the defense is shading him, and you compare and contrast that for how they defend, you know, Kevon Looney or TJD because of their skill set being dramatically different, the kid with the pick and pop range, you can see, like, wow, the floor opens up. I mean, it opens up for guys to attack the lane, whether it's Andrew Wiggins, hopefully eventually Jonathan Kuminga. You could see that now Steph Curry's like, oh, you want to run the double team at me after the big high screen? I'll just whip it over to Quentin Post. He's wide open, he's going to knock that down. And eventually teams will adjust, and that will open up the floor for other advantageous mismatches. And I love seeing what the youngsters were bringing to the table yesterday, B.
Well, the youngsters, and look, there's a shift. And let's be real. I was a little pissed off about the Kings. I hate losing to the Kings. I know D-Lo KC were FaceTiming all of us, and I acted like it was a party. And I FaceTimed the back of the show.
I took the banana and the tailpipe. I had no idea what was going on.
Yeah, no, I called it back. I called it back on our show. It was all good. It was all good. That's what Sacramento does. They celebrate like they win a Super Bowl because that is their Super Bowl. But the Warriors did, for the most part, play well, with the exception of that third quarter when they turned the ball over eight times and got outscored 37-20. But along the messaging was, you know what, Guy Santos played well. Quentin Post didn't look overwhelmed.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You got something there. There's some positives to take away. And so for them to bounce back from a slow start in the first quarter, they're only down three, despite the Bulls shooting the lights out in the first half from the three-point line. I think they were 72% from three in the first half. These guys, with the spacing, Steve Curry elected to go Guy Santos instead of Gary Payton II to start the second half. And Guy Santos, Payton, by the way, the bench, 83-41 last night. The Warriors bench scored 83 points. They were electric. But all of a sudden, you see Moses Moody getting more run, and he's getting more spacing, playing alongside Poster Santos. And the pick and pop, where Steph hasn't really had a stretch five over the course of his career, it's a different look. And you can see him working with Quentin Post. And Quentin Post is ready to catch and shoot. He scores 20 yesterday. He's 7-12. He's 24 years old. You know, we're going to play Trevor Haas. Remember we had him on. Nobody cared about the pick with Quentin Post. Nobody really cared if the Warriors got in there.
Like, who's watching Boston College basketball? Like,
not many people.
Being real.
Not many people, right? No. So he's drafted 52 overall.
Certainly
52 overall in this round. Yeah, I didn't watch Boston College game at all. So we had Trevor Haas from the Boston Globe on shortly after Quentin Post dropped. You know, it's a summer day.
Yeah.
We're sitting there. It's like it's slow. Let's find out about Quentin Post. Well, this is what he told us back when he was drafted back in the summertime.
Yeah, well, I would say his biggest strength is his versatility. I feel like he's a guy who can beat you outside, beat you inside, beat you off the dribble, beat you with the pass. Really does a little bit of everything. For BC, it was their first 20-win season since 2011 last year, and he was the biggest reason why. He was really not a great player to start his career at Mississippi State. Didn't really get much of an opportunity. Averaged 1 point per game his first year, then three his second year. Transferred to BC, started getting better and better, and then the past 2 years, he's been a star. So really just a versatile player who does a little bit of everything, and I think he'll have a strong NBA career.
So he believes that. You know what? He has the makings of, in today's modern NBA, to be a hell of a role player. We're not saying he's going to be a 30-minute-per-game player. But this guy, with the way he's able to pick a pop, move his feet, he's communicating on defense.
Yep.
And I don't take it lightly that he made the All-ACC defensive team last season. That's a conference with Duke, Georgia Tech, Miami, North Carolina State, Maryland. I mean, you got Syracuse in that conference. I mean, it's a who's who of teams. This is the top of the top, right? Now, I don't pretend to watch a lot of college basketball, but we know about the Atlantic Coast Conference. We grew up watching that conference, you know, here on the West Coast on the Deuce ESPN 2 or whatnot. So he makes All-ACC defensive team. He makes second All-ACC team. He's one of the most improved players. And just the form where he's able to move as a seven-footer, a legit seven-footer, to set a solid screen and get open. Oh, more. And I don't think that was an illegal screen Wednesday night in Sacramento where he got popped there, but whatever. But his screen setting's getting better and better and better. So that's why when we talk about development, the Warriors have done a good – Guy Santos – develops into a nice role player. Quentin Post, nice little role player here. You got something.
You know, there's something to be said for being a very fundamentally sound, smart player who's played in a half-court offense for a long, long time, right? Like, we've talked a lot about the system the Warriors run. Feel and understanding, you know, spacing and what I call the two-man game is extremely important, right? It's extremely important. I was saying to Sam earlier, and I did this, like, demonstration. I do this with all the kids that I coach. Like, it's really hard for them to understand how to set a screen. right? How do you set a screen? How do you come off of a screen? How do you reset your feet to go screen someone else? How do you present yourself as a roller, as a guy who fades out after setting the screen and showing your hands and putting yourself in just the right spot to where the defense has to honor you and they can't double or hedge or drop in the case of TJD and Looney, where they're like, oh, I know that this guy only wants to roll to the rim. And so I watched this guy and I was like, just seeing the half court IQ, they got something there.
They got something there.
I'm not here to say he's some elite starter. That's not what I'm saying. But here's what I would say, B. It does feel like to me, with TJD and Looney, their skill set's a little redundant, you know? Yep. And I'm looking at like kind of the books moving forward. Looney's an expiring contract. I really do think that Quinton Post deserves lots of opportunities down the stretch. And you asked, hey, what do you think about Vucevic? What do you think about this? I'm telling you now, I'm planting my flag here. If you're asking me about trades, there are certain trades I would make.
Right.
One that I would not is the Vucevic trade. Yep. I want to see, I want to commit to some of these young guys, and I would hollow out some of these older guys that are on the bench that don't have a future. You owe it to yourself to give yourself multiple months of a look at Quinton Post, Gui Santos, Moses Moody, Jonathan Kuminga. Just, you owe it to yourself. I want to see these young guys play because I think they got a little something. I'm not here to say they're stars, but clearly the team is reacting to their energy and their IQ and their ball movement, and I'm excited to watch them.
Quinton Post, obviously the 20 points yesterday, career high, 5 of 10 from the three-point line. Gui Santos put together a good stretch, starting from the road trip in Detroit, where he had a good game against Detroit. You're like, wow, look at Gui. Well, Gui is a good kid. I like the guy personally.
He's an energy guy.
5 of 6 from the three-point line. He doesn't feel overwhelmed. He's hustling his ass off. And again, he's able to shoot the rock. Now you have more offensive threats on the floor. Also want to shout out Podzimski. I know everybody's been hard on Podzimski. Everybody's been hard on Podzimski. He came off the bench in 21 minutes. And I thought Pods played really well, connecting the offense, moving and grooving. And you want to talk about opportunities for them. They don't think Pods and continue to, hey, we know what we got here.
Yes.
Just keep playing. And maybe him being out for 10 games, Brandon Podzimski, did himself some good to where he could see the game slow down. He gets some rest. He doesn't overthink things. He comes back, man, with less pressure. Hey, remember me? I'm Brandon Podzimski. Well, I thought he played solid last night. So when it comes to Vucevic, and you think about the price tag that he has over the next 2 years, over $20 million, and he's going to be 34, 35 years old.
He's a lumbering guy.
And we got a great look at him. Now, Zach LaVine is solid. He's explosive. He gets up and rises for a shot. He's unbelievable when it comes to that. But there's a hefty price tag with that contract. There's other avenues you could go in, which I don't know what players are available. How could we know? We don't know what's going on in the war room of, say, the Memphis Grizzlies or the Miami Heat or the Charlotte Hornets or the Atlanta Hawks. We don't know what's going on with these teams. But when you talk about expiring contracts, and you see it with Looney, although Looney did grab 11 rebounds yesterday.
He was good.
I thought a veteran.
Yeah.
What I wondered is, because Steve Kerr said after the game, we'll play the sound, you know, what is he going to do a minute? Actually, I'm going to play the sound, and then I want to respond to this, because there's something here that I want to say, and it's going to be very intriguing, because I think fans, they want to see more Quinton Post. They want to see
it. They owe it to themselves to get a look at the young guys.
So here's what Steve Kerr said about his minutes.
Well, first of all, he played 5 years of college basketball, so he's an old school rookie. Guys 25 years ago came into the league ready to play because they played all that college ball and have the foundation underneath them, and that's Quinton. So you can see he's got a good feel for the game. I think the biggest thing over the last couple of months in Santa Cruz is the staff there just did a great job with him working defensively. I think that was our biggest concern at the beginning of the season was could he guard pick and roll? Could he get out on the perimeter, be up to the level of the screen and still get back in the paint? You saw that tonight. He was flying around. So I think the Santa Cruz experience has been great for Quinton. He's made huge strides on the defensive end, and you can see how much confidence he's playing with.
So that's Steve Kerr on Quinton's Post commitment here. However, he mentioned that when Draymond Green and Jonathan Kuminga get back, it's going to be tough to get these guys minutes. And that's where we look at Draymond Green. Can he play alongside Quinton Post? Yeah, sure, he can. He can. But I do wonder what the spacing looked like. Because to me, just watching that, I took the night off yesterday at NBC. Mm-hmm. I had the night off, load management. I'm watching and I'm just like, wow, the floor just looks so wide open for this team.
It's just.
And so when Draymond Green and JK gets back, Like a pick and roll with J.K. and Quentin Pulse, I think could work really, really well. How does a pick and roll look with Draymond Green and Quentin Pulse if they run a high pick? What about Gui Santos? It's going to be very interesting to see how Steve Kerr navigates this, because I think you got some role players here who could give you 20 minutes a night and Gui Santos and Quentin Pulse not look overwhelmed, irritate some people, know where to be in the right spot, right time, simplify the game for these guys where they know this is what I'm doing, this is my assignment, this is what I need to do. I'm very intrigued to see when these two guys get back what happens with Pulse and Santos, because I think you got to keep these guys in the rotation. And so when you talk about expiry contracts, there is an avenue to get better in other areas by making some shrewd moves.
Well, you're leading me into a Zach LaVine take that I have that I don't know, people may or may not agree with, and I'd love to hear from them. But B, you have to me, Buddy is on a multi-year deal, four-year deal, and Kyle Anderson's on a three-year deal. I don't know what their value is. I don't know who's taking them on. Maybe there's a contender. But you have Dennis Schroeder's $13 million expiring deal. You got GP2's $9 million expiring deal. You got Kevon Looney's $8 million expiring deal. No, I really love Looney. I respect everything that he's done. I'm not here to just throw this guy. That's not what I'm trying to do. But if we're talking about getting better for the future, expiring contracts are valuable.
No doubt.
I look at a team like the Bulls, and I know they want a king's ransom for a guy like Zach LaVine. And it would be a complicated three-way deal. But if you're asking me now, Bonte, it's very clear to me. If I told you that I could find a way to staple Draymond Green, some picks, some of these expiring deals, get a three-way deal, and get me Zach LaVine to pair up and not have to move Andrew Wiggins, boy, would that be a really fun little team with some of that spacing. And I'm watching Gui Santos and the way that he's moving and the way that he goes from corner to the top of the key, and the defense is now honoring him because of that stretch shooting, and every single shot that goes up, he's crashing the boards. He does so many little things. Look, Draymond brings a lot of value, but if we're talking about being good and moving forward and getting a little more athletic and spacing the floor and complementing what Steph Curry does, if you can go get a guy like Zach LaVine, I think you got to staple whatever you can and get a little aggressive here, and you'll have a nice combination of some youth, some guys in their prime. You got some perimeter defenders. Like, I want to see them make a move for the now that can also help you for the next couple of years.
So you want to staple Draymond Green into a move here?
I with some of these expiring deals, I would. I'm looking at it and I'm saying we got a logjam at the four. We do. We got a logjam at the four. Mm-hmm. Kuminga and Moody and Gui Santos can play some versions of the four. I think we've got to move forward. Like, I think this organization needs to do a bold thing and take a little swing and a little risk and utilize the assets that they have. Draft picks and expiring deals. Get creative. Get bold. Let's do it. Did you see the smile on Curry's face?
Curry's face. They got to win. That's why.
Curry will tell you by his facial expressions if he knows a guy can play or not. And I watched how quickly he evolved to throwing the ball quickly to Quentin Post on that high pick and roll. You could see the synergy.
Quentin Post on his chemistry with Steph on the court.
We did talk yesterday, and as we said, like, I had never played with Steph before until yesterday. So I thought we already saw improvement today. There's one play, for example, on the left wing where I popped to the three and he turned around and he hit me. And last night he threw that over his head because he thought I was going to roll. So that's kind of the talks that we've had, kind of, you know, and like I said earlier or yesterday, I'm trying to adjust to him, you know, trying to make life easy on him, and making some shots definitely helps.
Well, the most fun part about last night was Quentin Post explaining how Steph Curry came through for the Rook. Check this story out.
We came home. This is a few months ago, so I haven't even touched the court yet. We came home from a long road trip. I was up here, and I think it was like 2:30 at night, and we were at the airport, right? I'm trying to get an Uber to go home, but the Uber service isn't working. Everybody's kind of leaving, you know, IQP, you good? I'm like, yeah, I'm good. Steph walks by, and Steph's like, are you good? I'm like, yeah, I'm good. I figured it out. And he's like, no, what do you mean? Like, I don't know, I'm getting an Uber. And Steph's like, are you trying to go home? I'm like, yeah, I got you. So at 2:30 at night, maybe 2-3 o'clock, I don't know, whatever, Steph is like, I got you. And he drove me home. He made a little detour. I mean, that just shows, you know, how he is as a person. At that point, probably out of the 50 people that were on that airport, Steph was the last person that needed to worry about if I got home, you know. But that's just the person he is. Great teammate, and then obviously everything on the court speaks for itself. So I thought that was cool to share.
And it's later asked him, how long was the detour? Was
how cool. long a detour you think that would have been for him?
He probably took an extra 20 minutes on his trip.
He was going home to down like the Athens area. Okay.
Well, my family was staying in Redwood, at the, so it was kind of towards him, but yeah. I don't even think he knew that. He might have honestly gotten me home regardless.
I'll go with 20 minutes.
Sounds 20 like minutes, yeah, put it out there. Yeah.
So Steph comes through for him on the floor, gives him a ride for the airport after a road trip. He's like, yo, come on, Rook, get in the car, man. Get in the car. I'll give you a ride home. And for a rookie like that, that... You see something there where Steph is like, whoa.
He fired.
I've got a Steph. I got a Steph. And he was running with it, waiting, and Quentin Post was ready to shoot. And I said, this guy, and that's why when we talked to Trevor Haas back in the summer, I said, you know, I don't know what it's going to look like. I'm not going to go crazy over a 24-year-old rookie. But size, screening, he could move his feet well defensively. You make an all-defensive team. It tells me you're taking pride out of the end of the floor. You're going to get beat. Somebody's going to score on you. This league's got the greatest athletes in the world. But does he look overwhelmed right now?
That's what I'm looking for. The eyes don't lie.
And we haven't even got to Guy Santos. We're going to get to Antoine in Nashville. I'm telling you, Guy Santos is somebody that could become a fan favorite. They're 22-22. That's why this whole doom and gloom earlier this week and the whole loser talk about just waving white flags and all that. Nah, the season ain't over yet. You can make something happen here. Just be patient. Whether it's the February 6th deadline or playing these kids, you may have something here. We'll get into it on the other side. Brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you. Here for good.
Go post. Pick and pop left wing. He got another one. Oh, Quentin Post. His fifth.
Dub Nation, it's Quentin Post. You're listening to The Morning Roast with Bonte Hill and Joe Shasky on 95.7 The Game.
Wow, we had that in the back pocket. Quentin Post.
I had the foresight to tell them. No, I'm just joking. I'm totally teasing.
No, we had the foresight to get Trevor Haas from the Boston Globe on.
Yes.
Shortly after he was drafted, was like, let's find out about Quentin Post. And the boss went, oh, Quentin Post, really? Just let us cook, boss man.
I can't even believe you said that.
You know, I'll play the cut real quick, Jess, before you start. Trevor Haas, back at the draft. What was the draft?
Everyone's late July. Who is Trevor Haas?
Yeah, who was Trevor Haas? Boston Globe. He actually loved the Bay Area. He's like, you know, I got family out there and whatnot. Well, he dropped this nugget. I've been waiting to use it. We're using it 6 months later, but here's Trevor Haas on Quentin Post when the Warriors drafted him.
Yeah, well, I would say his biggest strength is his versatility. I feel like he's a guy who can beat you outside, beat you inside, beat you off the dribble, beat you with the pass. Really does a little bit of everything. For BC, it was their first 20-win season since 2011 last year, and he was the biggest reason why. He was really not a great player to start his career at Mississippi State. Didn't really get much of an opportunity. Averaged 1 point per game his first year, then three his second year. Transferred to BC, started getting better and better, and then the past 2 years, he's been a star. So really just a versatile player who does a little bit of everything, and I think he'll have a strong NBA career.
So now I wonder, Dub Nation, 888-957-9570. We're going to get Antoine in just a second. I see Lucky in the city, Cam Shasky. I wonder how many Dub fans are now saying, you know what, Vucevic, yeah, we're good. We got Quentin Post and Guy Santos.
Well, look, no one is sitting here saying that these guys are the second coming.
Right.
But that being said, like, to me, they're already rotation players. And I look at, we just got a logjam. We've got too many guys. And you've got some expiring deals that you can move. And I want to see what the young guys do. I think you owe it to yourself. And I think what their skill sets are that they bring to the table is dramatically needed. You know, to me, Guy Santos, at worst, he's the Brazilian Brian Cardinal.
Yep.
He's a perfect off-the-bench energy guy.
Well, I think he could do more than Brian Cardinal.
No, but I'm just saying, he can knock down a three, and he's going to scrap it up, and he's going to get loose balls. He's a willing passer. There was a simple play last night, him and Moody. He brought the ball up, Guy, and then he passed to Moody. Moody had like a pump fake, gave it back to Guy, and Guy's like, oh, I'm wide open. Bang. Yeah. And I was just like, the guys want to play with Guy because they know if they throw it to him, they'll get it back.
Oh, no, he plays good basketball.
He's a good teammate.
And another case study here. Another case study with the development down in Santa Cruz. They're doing a hell of a job down in Santa Cruz developing these players. Quentin Post, Moses Moody's looking good.
Yes.
Kuminga's gotten better. Jordan Poole went down to the G League. This player development program the Warriors have rolling right now has been scoffed at for many, many years, saying, oh, they don't develop. And da, 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 da. Well, they are developing some nice role players
exactly.
here. And I will leave this question like, hey, This is the same regime that started to develop Draymond Green into the star that he is. Stephen Curry into the superstar, although he was already there. They helped bring him to another level by bringing him off the basketball. So, Guy Santos, I really like the way he plays the
game. Can I just ask you this? You watch this team every single day. Do I think the Bulls are good? No, I don't. No, I don't think the Bulls are good at all. So anybody that wants to come today and say, Joe, it's one game, it's the Bulls. Look, you're right. I'm not going to argue with you. Like, yeah, it is one game. I've watched this team all year. That's about as fun of a game as I've seen, you know, Steph Curry have. Forget what I think. Steph Curry have all year. Have there been other moments? Sure. The game against Clay was, I mean, the drama in that game was outstanding.
Yeah, I would.
There's
yeah,
other games. I'm just talking about fun games and watchability.
Boston, Dallas.
I know. Do I think this team is going to play the way they did against that Bulls team, against OKC and Denver and whoever you think the top dogs are? Probably not. But I'll tell you this. That was fun, and I think they got a little something there, and I want to see more of it. That's all. I want to see more, and I think they owe it to themselves to kind of see some more. And I'm looking at this B, and to me, they're eight-man. Forget LaVine for a second. Curry, Wiggins, Gee, Post, Kuminga, Moody, TJD, Potts. That's eight-man, okay? You've got these other guys that I think that you could bundle together. I don't know where Draymond falls in this, but I know that eight young guys, it's a good mix of young and in their prime, and then Curry. I like that eight-man mix. I still think you need a two-guard. I think you need a legit two-guard. But if Pods plays a four-game like he did yesterday, yeah, I think they've got a little something here.
Well, we'll see. It's one game. It's a two-game sample.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest, 100% organic cotton sheets from Boll & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with sheets that feel breathable to sleep in. You'll experience the purest softness on night one and feel your sheets get even softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first set of sheets at bollandbranch.com with code Odyssey. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Jeffrey Dahmer, Ted Bundy, the Night Stalker. These names are infamous, but do you really know what drove them to kill?
In Mind of a Serial Killer, we don't just tell you the story, we break down the psychology behind it.
Follow and listen to Mind of a Serial Killer, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Size. Sure. They're going to get some more. You know, you got to play the LA Lakers, who are rolling right now. They just beat up on the Boston Celtics last night. They look good. So now you got LeBron James and Anthony Davis, and it's going to be a crash course for these young fellas. So let's just be patient a little bit. But for now, it looks good. And here's the thing. I wouldn't get too up and too down on these guys, right? I like what I see. I really like what I see. And I think their games translate well to the modern game. Guy said, tells the Quinton Post. I'm not going to go crazy here saying you're going to win a lot of games with these guys. That unit turned the game. The bench unit scored 83 points last night against Chicago. And we know Chicago is 19-26. But the opportunity, and this is what I keep talking about, and this is what we keep talking about in the pregame show, this is what we keep talking about at this station. or at least on this show. Santos, Moody, Pajimski, Post, all these guys get an opportunity right now because Draymond's out, Kuminga's out.
Yes.
There's minutes to be had. Do you want to play? Do you want to play well? Do you want to crack the rotation? There are opportunities for these guys right now to do that over the next week and a half, 2 weeks, maybe up until the All-Star break to see if they can stick here. So, look, there's going to be up and downs. We can't crash.
No question.
We can't bash these guys if they have a bad game. They're rookies. They're young players. But so far, so good, and they look like legit rotation players.
Bonte, go back to a couple years ago when we were, you know, trying to squeeze in guys that had no future with the team at all, right? Like, we are now regretting not developing and letting those younger guys play through the mistakes.
Yep.
Okay? I'm talking about during the Anthony Lamb what's
Ty
the other?
Jerome.
Ty Jerome stuff. Buddy, Schroeder, Kyle Anderson, GP2, we kind of know what we got. Like, we kind of know what those right. guys are. They're probably not here a long term. Like, don't force feed those guys at the expense of the young guys, because down the line, you're 11 seed. You're probably not going to crack the top five. That's fine.
But you can still got a shot. Fun. No, I wouldn't close out on that.
I didn't say that. I think the young guys, even with mistakes, can get you to a similar destination as the old guys. Yep. So to me, you owe it to yourself to see what you got in them. Just let it play out.
Let's go to Antoine in Nashville for a second. Antoine, what's up, baby?
What's going on, guys? Y'all doing all right this morning?
Oh, yeah, man, I can't complain.
Having fun.
Good, good. It's good to hear from you guys this morning, man. Y'all are cooking up just what I like to hear. I must admit, man, y'all are cooking up some stuff this morning.
I need to go to Nashville, Antoine. I hear Nashville is booming, man. Everybody's moving to Nashville.
Oh, yeah.
It's I heard it's up and coming. The Titans got a new stadium coming. You guys are going to get a Super Bowl soon. I need to get out to Nashville, Tennessee.
Yeah, man, come on out, brother. I mean, in all honesty, Nashville is a popular city right now. My wife just moved here, and she loves it. She moved from Atlanta. Not as much traffic, a lot of partying, a lot of good food. I can honestly admit that. It's a great time to come visit, for sure.
No doubt.
What do you got, the Warriors?
Hey, so this morning, man, you guys kind of hit the nail on the head, and it's something that I was kind of thinking about. Love what Quentin Post did. And this is kind of what you had a lot of the fans talking about. What if we had a stretch big? Mm. And knowing that we drafted one, and you see, yes, it's the Bulls. Obviously, the Bulls are not that good. However, with him being a threat, like you said, Bronte, hey, the spacing looks different. Mm-hmm. It's a whole lot different. And the thing of it is, with the Warriors, they're not having a big presence. A lot of bigs on other teams could sit off in the paint and have that presence. But if you have a big who can pull him out, it allows more driving lanes. So what I would say, honestly, this morning to all Warriors fans, I talked about this months ago. I said we needed to get Miles Turner and Schroeder or whatnot. Here's the point I'm making. I said we need to stay around 500 during the trade deadline. Stay around 500. Yeah. I know that sucks because they got other teams that are really good. But if we stay around 500 and we let these young guys be our forefront, we're putting on their skill set as that can entice some teams or whatever the case may be.
Oh, he hung up. All right. Good call, Antoine.
I think they can be in the mix still.
Well, here they are. So the Clippers are in the sixth seed. They have 19 losses. The Warriors have 22. They're three back. The Lakers have 18 losses with some games to make up. You could be three back of the Lakers on Saturday. So this is going to be interesting. I'm going to bring up something about Quentin Post, too, because Saturday night, now I'm thinking about it, the Lakers, he's got the ability, him and Gee, if Anthony Davis is guarding him, to bring Anthony Davis out of the paint. I think the Lakers will probably switch that and probably try to put LeBron James or Vanderbilt or one of those guys. But it's a very interesting dynamic. Hachimura, Rui as well.
I'm just thinking, yeah.
But you know what? Quentin Post could shoot over these guys.
I agree.
It's going to be very interesting there. All right, we got a break. Lucky, we're going to get you on the other side. Cam as well. Hang tight, fellas. We'll talk to you about the Dubs here. 888-957-9570 is the number. Does anybody still want Vucevic after watching him last night? What was your impressions of Nikola Vucevic?
That name has been
drugged through the mud for the last month. Anybody still in on Vucevic after watching him in up close and personal last night at Chase Center? 888-957-9570. Got details about the knockout tournament coming up. That's all happening. Brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you and here for good.
I get money.
is Draymond Green. The Morning Roast with Bonte Hill and Joe Shasky is live on YouTube and Twitch right now. Time for you to like and subscribe.
All right, Draymond Green didn't play last night. He's going to get reevaluated next week with the left calf strain as the Warriors rolled the Bulls last night in a feel-good win. What a difference of two third quarters, I should say, the last two nights. In the third quarter, Wednesday night against Sacramento, they get outscored 37-20. They go 1-10 from the three-point line, commit eight turnovers. Well, last night, the third quarter, the Warriors have to be in down one at the half. Outscored the Bulls 31-16. They drop seven assists in that quarter, only turned the ball over three times. They hit for three, 6-17. And the Bulls, they held the Bulls, who were lighting it up in the first half. The Bulls, they couldn't miss a three. Lonzo Ball was cooking. Everybody was cooking in the first half for Chicago. They were 13 of 18 from three in the first half, shooting 72% from the perimeter. Last night in the third quarter, the Bulls, 0-9, 5-22 overall, and that's when the game flipped. You had Steph Curry scored his seven. You had Andrew Wiggins scored his eight. Andrew Wiggins is having a hell of a season, by the way, in case anybody wants to know. Wiggins is having a hell of a season. I try to keep that guy because he can play defense. He's a perimeter defender. He's got a in terms of, like, you see the contracts out there with Scottie Barnes and Quickly and all these players. Wiggins has a very cap-friendly deal, which I would try to hold on to when you get his 17 a game and he's rebounding better. He can step out and hit the three and he defends well. I would try to keep Andrew Wiggins at the deadline at all costs. Hopefully that does happen, but we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens for Dunleavy and crew as the Warriors look to make some moves up the Western Conference. I got to read over here somewhere. Here it is. This segment brought to you by Go to State, serving the Bay Area for three generations. When you succeed, we succeed. Visit GoToStateLumber.com. Ask your question before the break. You know, what about Nikola Vucevic now? Warrior fans, how are you feeling about Vuk now after watching him last night for the Chicago Bulls? Is that a guy you would still want to trade for?
If I hadn't seen Quentin Post the last two games, I would be much more inclined to say, absolutely, I still want him. But I think, you know, just get a little glimpse of Quentin Post. And again, I feel like such a prisoner of the moment. But the reality is, one guy's 34. It costs you something. He's an expiring deal, if I'm not mistaken. So you'd have to make a decision. And then the other guy is the guy you just drafted. And I originally thought, because Anthony Slater's really smart and he's tapped in and he understands this team, was like, yeah, he's probably 2 years away. It's like, I watched this guy last.
He did say that. Yeah.
No, I'm not trying to rip him, but like, yeah, no. I took him at face value, and maybe that's what they thought. What's funny is he wrote an article this morning that I read, and there were members of the organization. I don't know what that means. I don't know where on the chart these guys are, who were frustrated that the team did not bring him on the trip to Minnesota because they were so shorthanded. And now I see why. And, you know, we could talk a lot about, you know, getting veterans. This, just, are you playing well? Do you play a brand of basketball that kind of fits what they're doing right now? And I think that the kid can. I think he's a rotation piece. And that's the way I view him right now. I am opening myself up to seeing what he can be more down the line. But right now, I think he's a rotation piece. And the problem is you got too many rotation pieces.
Steve Kerr mentioned that. I don't know if he mentioned it here, but I'm going to play this about a second unit before we get back to the calls. By the way, Steph Curry leads the list of NBA's top-selling jerseys this season. He's number one. LeBron James, number two. Tatum, number three. Brunson, four. Wemby, five. But Curry still having the top-selling jersey. So for all the people who want to trade Stephen Curry, he's still making a lot of money out here in the Bay Area. You got to be careful with that. Here is Steve Kerr on the second unit.
Yeah, they all played well. It was an incredible performance off the bench. You know, Gee has just continued to, you know, shine in his opportunity here, the way he's cutting and moving. The game really seems to click when he's out there. And Moses has found a good groove. So those guys are really, as a kind of a tag team wing tandem, they're playing great. I thought Dennis was fantastic tonight. And that's the guy who I've watched for years. He is a competitor. He plays with an edge. He got after it defensively tonight. He pushed the ball. I thought Dennis played a huge role in that win.
That was Dennis, one of Dennis Schroeder's better games last night. There's no doubt about that. But I thought Pods was solid, man. Give Pods some love last night. He pushed the pace.
I agree.
He had that ball hopping around. That looked like the Pods from the last 3 months last season. Pods looked good last night in his first game back after missing 12 with the right abdominal injury.
They were up a gazillion at the end, but of like 3 or 4 minutes to go, he took the hard dribble, kind of, you know, jumped to the right and banged a three from three. And I was thinking, wow, like he couldn't find a three earlier in the season. That's a big shot for him. He hit a layup on the reverse that Curry just made a beautiful pass to him. And I feel like earlier in the year, he would have jump stopped.
Right.
He would have not taken that shot. Instead, he went up with the right hand, you know, under, did the nice little reversal. Right. You know, I'm really happy for him. And the more, I mean, again, it's one game, but I see him last night and I'm saying, I still want to see what he's got, and I think that Schroeder is kind of a redundant player. Mm. Schroeder does other things that he doesn't, and Pods does other things that Schroeder doesn't. But I would probably stick with Pods given his salary and given that Schroeder's an expiring deal. Like I keep coming back to, you have expiring deals. Last year you didn't make the moves to kind of maximize those deals coming off the books. I think this year,
part of that was financials, though. You got to remember that there's layers to it. You got to get under that first apron, and a lot of teams are rushing to get under that first or second apron. They're petrified of that because they don't want their picks frozen. They don't want to pay taxes and get penalized for that. So I think that had a lot to do with it.
But wouldn't you say this year, it's pretty clunky? Like I referenced the 8-man lineup that I really like. The young aim. You got Buddy, Schroeder, Kyle Anderson, GP2, and Looney. That's five guys, and then Curry, Wiggins, Gee, Post, Kuminga, Moody, TJD, Pods. That's eight. That's 13. That's 13 dudes. Okay? 12, you know, like, and then you get add Draymond. That's 14. It's too many. It's too many. And I know how this coach operates, which I get. He really likes GP2. He really likes, you know, Dennis Schroeder for obvious reasons because he's a veteran. He's going to like playing Looney. I would too. Looney means a lot to this organization. Right. I think that the GM has to step in and make it a little easier for the head coach, and they have to maneuver some stuff.
Well, that's the key.
It's really difficult. Somebody's got to go.
That's the key, because Kerr said it. I don't. Is it the quote right here? We got to find that quote where Steve Kerr basically said, you know, it's going to be hard to find these guys minutes once Draymond and Kuminga gets back. That's a concern. And that's a concern for me if they start rolling. But that's why we have to see what happens over the next 2 weeks. It's one thing to do it against the Bulls, who have one of the worst defenses in the NBA. Let's see what happens against the Lakers. Let's see what happens against Phoenix. Let's see what happens against OKC. I'm all for the youngsters getting playing time. I want to see that.
Of course you are.
Because I don't want to go pop champagne. We did this over Lindy Waters III after his game against, who was that? That was against New Orleans early in the season. We went crazy over Lindy Waters III, ready to put his jersey in the Hall of Fame. We got to chill for a second. These guys are nice players, and I want to see more of them. Trust me, I like what I see from Gee. I like what I see from Post. But over the next five, next six, as we go through this 9-game stretch, that I think is a season-defining stretch that could determine what the Warriors do February 6th, don't you want to see, like, hold on, before we start submitting rotations and carving out guaranteed minutes, you have the Lakers, Utah, OKC, Phoenix, and Orlando. And I think this is a great opportunity for Santos, Post, Moody, Pods, and some of these guys to say, Kerr, we need to play right now. We need minutes. So these next five, I think, are going to determine the rotations, determine what this team looks like over the last couple months, and what the Warriors may do at the February 6th deadline. Because think about this. You got the Lakers Saturday, Utah, OKC, Phoenix, and then you play Orlando to close out this 9-game stretch February 3rd. That's 3 days before the deadline. Then you go to Utah February 5th, and then you play in L.A. February 6th on the Thursday night TNT game. Let's see what it looks like over the next five.
I
want to get ahead of ourselves, you know what I mean?
I hear you, but
there, it's, I like what I see. Trust me, the spacing and the footwork of Post and the footwork of Gee Santos, I really like it. I think they're 15 to 20-minute players. But also, we got to be cautious that they could – have back games. Maybe the league adjusts. Maybe they get on the scouting report higher. So I tell you what, Buddy Hield is struggling, and that's a guy you got to figure out. That two-guard spot, you got to figure that one out.
This is why I'm telling you, like, are there other players available? I don't know. But if Zach LaVine's available, I would overpay for him because he's a two-guard that I think could fit right in. And I think it's tough to match with salaries. If there's a way that you can get Zach LaVine without surrendering Andrew Wiggins, I think you owe it to yourself to do it. I would go get it. And I know it's a swing. There's a huge risk. He might not fit. You know, he gets here and he's Dennis Schroeder. And for whatever reason, the style doesn't fit. I like that he can put the ball on the floor, and he's a more willing passer than I gave him credit for. Here's the thing about the Bulls game, and I hear you on, like, hey, they beat the Bulls. The Bulls aren't any good. You're right. There's no doubt.
No, it looked good. I'm not
poo-pooing it. They just got waxed by the Kings.
They lost down the stretch. It was a tight game with 3 minutes left, 1:30 left. It was tight.
They just lost to the Raptors. Like, We could say, hey, we got to see what they do against the big boys. They haven't done anything against the big boys this